Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Isabel Nguyen reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, January 6, 2022. MMH waits for vaccine mandate ruling. Midland health leaders, mandate would mostly create staffing issues. By Stuart Doreen. Midland health leaders said this week they will wait for the U.S. Supreme Court to decide on President Biden's vaccine mandates before acting. Midland Health CEO Russell Myers said that with mandates from OSHA and Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services going through the courts, the hospital is on hold. It is expected that the court could hear arguments as early as Friday. "We are not proceeding with any enforcement of any mandates as of now," Myers said. "We still encourage our employees to be vaccinated," Myers added. "We know that the Supreme Court has accepted appeals on both injunction processes, and we expect that the court has recognized the need for a quick turnaround on that decision. And so we will expect to hear something at the end of this week or beginning next week and react accordingly." Myers said that Midland Health is prepared to proceed with CMS requirements if that becomes necessary. Hospital officials have stated in the past and said again this week that the mandate will lead to staff leaving Midland Memorial. Myers said that the percentage of vaccinated staff members is around 78% at last count. Previously, Myers said that Midland health leaders didn't think that the mandate was accomplishing a lot other than giving us some potential staffing challenges. "As we've seen as the Delta variant has evolved and we've learned more and more, most people in our community are vaccinated or have had the disease," Myers said in December. "Vaccination is not a certain preventer of the transmission of the disease. It makes it less likely, but it doesn't eliminate the possibility of someone being a carrier and transmitting it. So with the high levels of vaccination that we had had among our workforce, now estimated at about 78%, there wasn't a whole lot to be gained by vaccination mandate, and we would be very pleased to see that stay off the books." Reuters reported this week that the Supreme Court will hear in-person arguments on Friday on emergency requests in two separate cases by challengers including business groups, religious entities, and various Republican-led U.S. states for orders blocking the vaccine requirements, with rulings expected in short order. The challengers maintain that Biden and his administration have overstepped their authority. Reuters also reported that the court's 6-3 conservative majority in the past has shown skepticism towards sweeping actions by federal agencies. "We hope that proceeding with requirements doesn't become necessary, because we know that will cost us some precious staff that we can't really afford to lose, but we're all waiting on the Supreme Court's ruling with respect to the CMS guidelines," Myers said Tuesday. On the OSHA side, the OSHA guideline is actually not enjoined right now. OSHA is taking steps to put things in place and to begin enforcing their mandate. They've deferred most of that until late January, and then any enforcement actions until February. I think they're also somewhat waiting on the Supreme Court's actions, but preparing to move forward. Big buzz, passive income padding pockets. 15.6% of residents earn extra outside of full-time work, by J.C. Lewis. Midland residents are earning extra passive income through dividends, interest, or rental properties. According to data from the U.S. Census Bureau, 20% of American households earn passive income. About 25% of non-Hispanic white households have passive income compared to 7% of Hispanic households and 6% of black households. The analysis found that 15.6% of households earn passive income in the Midland metropolitan area, with the median Midland resident earning $3,700 in passive income each year. More big news. Pristine Organic Cleaners now has a downtown location. The Dry Cleaners has opened across from Centennial Park at One Wall Plaza at 306 West Wall Street. Hours of operation are 7:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. Lunar Golf has temporarily closed to move locations. The mini golf course will have a new spot in Midland Park Mall. The business will be closed for about 3 weeks, according to a Facebook post. Roman Yoga has moved to locations in Odessa. The yoga studio is now located at Santa Fe Shopping Center, 3952 East 42nd Street, Suite 1 in Odessa. The opening class will be 5:30 to 7 p.m. Thursday, taught by Nancy, Chelsea, and Becky. The class will be a mix of styles. Then, on January 15th, the studio will have free classes at 9 a.m., Flow, at 11:30 a.m., Gentle, and 2 p.m., Kundalini. The opening party will be the same day from 6 to 9 p.m., with a tour of the space, tea, and opportunity to meet the instructors. Hi, this is Isabel reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, the community section for Thursday, January 6th, 2022. Midland College sees uptick in enrollment, by Stuart Doreen. Midland College's enrollment in the fall increased by 8.83% compared to the previous fall, according to a news release sent out Wednesday. The college showed that 5,184 students enrolled at MC this past fall. That total compared to the 4,763 students that enrolled in fall 2020. Midland College also reported that according to data from the National Student Clearinghouse, community college enrollment throughout the U.S. decreased 5.6% for the fall 2021 semester. Not only did total enrollment increase, but the college reported growth in student diversity. The college specifically pointed to the increase of Hispanic or Latino students, which grew from 52% of the student population to 58% during the fall semester. MC, like most community colleges, experienced an enrollment decrease during the pandemic, but its strength in online instruction helped students to continue learning, the college reported. While online-only classes have gained a significant popularity since 2019, surging 61%, the number of online-only students dropped to 1,412 in fall 2021 compared to 1,579 in fall 2020. January marks the beginning of MC's 50th anniversary year, and the college looks forward to starting spring semester classes on January 18th. Students, faculty, and staff have been given flexibility to cope with the pandemic's continued impact on their lives. Julia Vickery, MC Vice President of Student Services, stated in a news release, "Our instructors' strength in juggling in-person, online, hybrid, virtual, asynchronous, and synchronous education follows our commitment to student learning. These enrollment increases have been a college-wide effort and could not have happened without the dedication of college faculty, staff, and students." Whataburger murder suspect booked into county jail, by Mercedes Cordero. A week after being extradited from Mexico, Julio Cesar Lopez Beltran has been booked into Midland County Jail. Lopez Beltran of Chihuahua, Mexico, is being charged with murder and attempted murder in connection with the shooting that occurred June 21, 2018, at the Whataburger on East Interstate 20. Lopez Beltran was in a dispute with David Morales and another man at the Whataburger on East Interstate 20 at about 2 a.m. June 21, 2018. The dispute escalated in the parking lot and resulted in Morales and the other man being transported to Midland Memorial Hospital with gunshot wounds. According to a previous Reporter Telegram report, Morales died as a result of his injuries. The other man was released from the hospital. Lopez Beltran was extradited on December 29, 2021, from Mexico, the U.S. Marshals Service reported. After more than 3 years on the run, Lopez Beltran was captured in May 2021 by Mexican State Police narcotics investigators on a charge of possession of crystal methamphetamine. The arrest occurred after an exchange of information between Interpol, the Mexico Attorney General's Office, and the U.S. Marshals Service, El Paso Times reported. Bond has been set at a combined $350,000 for both first-degree felony charges. Hi, I'm Isabel reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, January 6, 2022. Odessa College enforces order, by Matt Stringer. Odessa College is imposing both a vaccine mandate and mask mandate on unvaccinated employees, citing the federal vaccine mandate being imposed through the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA. The federal mandates, which have come at the direction of President Joe Biden, have all faced severe scrutiny in federal courts. However, after the OSHA mandate was stayed by the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, it was recently reinstated by another federal circuit court. This has prompted the U.S. Supreme Court to set a hearing for January 7th, taking up challenges to both the OSHA vaccine mandate for businesses with over 100 employees and another mandate imposed on healthcare workers through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. According to an Odessa College directive sent out to all school staff, employees must show proof of vaccination by January 10th, and those who fail to show proof will not be allowed to return to work. A more detailed policy indicates that the mandate does not apply to certain employees who work from home or entirely outdoors.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, January 6th, 2022. Community Roundup. Water Department Customer Service Location Opens. The City of Midland Water Department Customer Service has relocated to 1030 Andrews Highway, Suite 220. This is in the Center Point building on the second floor, located next to Wells Fargo Bank. Residents can set up new accounts, make changes to existing accounts, and pay water bills at the new location. The drive-through at City Hall will remain open to pay water bills. In addition to the new location and City Hall drive-through, residents will still be able to pay their water bill through the online portal and Mr. Payroll at participating Kent Quick locations. Republican Women. The Midland County Republican Women will meet January 12th at Midland Country Club. Speakers include State Representative Tom Craddock and Joshua Trevino, Chief Innovation Officer for the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Those attending the event also will hear from the Republican candidates running for the District 31 seat. Those with more questions can go to MCRW website, https://mcrw.us. Midland ISD School Fair. The Midland ISD School Fair will take place from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at the MLK Center, 2300 Butternut Lane. This is an opportunity to visit with representatives from MISD's 40 campuses in one place. The event will provide an opportunity to learn how to apply to the schools and programs that best fit your child's interests and aptitudes. It also allows families to learn more about the options and opportunities available to pre-K, elementary, junior high, and high school students. Families and students will have the chance to visit the campus of your choice during the week of January 10th, when the district conducts campus tours. The event is free, open to the public, and will include jumpers, face painting, and more. Event schedule. Finding Your Roots, 6 p.m. Thursday at Centennial Library. Rodney Carrington, Let Me In, 7 p.m. Thursday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Midland Downtown Farmers Market, 9 a.m. to noon Saturday at Museum of the Southwest. Sibley Camera Club, 10 to 11:30 a.m. Saturday at the Sibley Nature Center. School Fair, 11 a.m. Saturday at Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center. MCT Open House, 1 p.m. Saturday at Midland Community Theater. Teen Video Games, 1 p.m. Saturday at Centennial Library. Navigating the Times, a Pandemic Wellness and Workshop, 1:30 p.m. Saturday at 1107 North Big Spring. Low Street Market, Bar Crawl, 2 p.m. Saturday on West Wall Street. Joe Coy, Funny is Funny, 8 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Vinyl Brunch, Music Friendly Edition, 10:30 a.m. Sunday at Beryl and Derek. The Impact of Trauma in Our City, 6:30 p.m. Monday, 502 East Nobles Avenue. MOSC Chorale Auditions, January 10th through 11th. Sign up at https://www.mosc.org/musicians/chorale/auditions. Lunch and Lecture, James Beecham, 11:30 a.m. January 11th at the Petroleum Museum. Casa of West Texas Information Session, noon, January 11th, on Zoom. Register at https://caasawtx.org/news-events/event/2022/01/11/casa-information-session. Family Board Game Night, 4:30 p.m. January 12th at the Downtown Library. Midland County's 70th Annual Livestock Show and Sale, January 12th through 15th at the Horseshoe. Theater Thursday, 6 p.m. January 13th at Sibley Nature Center. Cinema Under the Stars, Mamma Mia, 7:30 p.m. January 13th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Camila Luz Tour con Carla Brew, 7 p.m. January 14th at La Hacienda Event Center. The West Texas Hunting Extravaganza Exhibitor Hall Opening, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. January 15th at the Horseshoe. Midland Classic Theater Company auditions for Shakespeare's Birthday Bash, 2 to 4 p.m. January 15th and 16th at the Matthews Martial Arts. Introduction to Astronomy, Our Place Among the Infinities, Part 1 of 5, noon to 2 p.m. January 15th at the Marion Blakemore Planetarium. Daniel Sorensen, Drawing and Painting Class, 1 p.m. January 15th, 907 West Wadley. Tales and Trails, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. January 18th at the Sibley Nature Center. Artist Reception, Diane Brown, 6 to 8:30 p.m. January 18th at the Sibley Nature Center. Rusty the Cowboy, 6 to 8 p.m. January 18th at Sibley Nature Center. The Crafting Hour, 4:30 p.m. January 19th, Downtown Library. Gerardo Ortiz, La Fiera de Ojinaga, Los Vendalavales y Los Anchondo, 8 p.m. January 21st at La Hacienda Event Center. Paw Patrol Meet and Greet, January 21st through 23rd at Polly's Restaurant in MCM Grande Fun Dome. Dinosaur Revolution, The Exhibit, 10 a.m. January 22nd at Centennial Library. Understanding Poverty Training, 6:30 p.m. January 24th, 502 East Nobles. 2022 State of Oil and Gas, 11 a.m. January 26th at the Midland County Horseshoe. Tom Segura, I'm Coming Everywhere, 7 p.m. January 26th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Wagner Knoll 10-year mini birthday party, 4 p.m. January 27th at Bird Box Gifts. Wild for Wildlife Family Science Night, 6:30 p.m. January 27th at the Petroleum Museum. Motown Experience, 6 to 9 p.m. January 27th and 28th, 3211 West Wadley. Tween Video Games, 4:30 p.m. January 28th at Centennial Library. Chocolate Decadence, 6 to 10 p.m. January 28th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Cody Jinx, 7 p.m. January 28th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center.
Hi, this is Isabel reading the Midland Reporter Telegram obituaries for Thursday, January 6th, 2022. Elizabeth Berry, on December 20th, 2021, God in his infinite wisdom saw fit to call home to rest Mrs. Elizabeth Liz Berry, 79, of Midland, Texas. Elizabeth was born October 7th, 1942, to Theus and Sue Willie Caldwell in Ringgold, Louisiana. She was the fifth of five children. Elizabeth was preceded in death by her parents, two brothers, R.D. Caldwell and Willie C. Caldwell, two sisters, Eliza Sanders and May Etta Tolliver. To cherish her memories, she leaves her husband of 59 years, Edward Berry, two sons, Darius Berry Sr. of Manville, Louisiana, Byron Berry of Heartland, Texas. She also leaves two grandchildren, two great-grandchildren. To further cherish her memories, she leaves a sister-in-law, Shirlene Caldwell, a brother-in-law, Billy Berry, wife, Gail, half-brother, Melvin Lee Stanley, and numerous nieces, nephews, cousins, family, and friends. Funeral service will be held Saturday, January 8th, at 11 a.m. at Macedonia Baptist Church with Pastor Woodrow W. III officiating. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home is honored to serve the Berry family at this time. Lowell Kesna. Lowell Sherman Kesna passed from this earthly life into Jesus' loving arms on January 4th, 2022 at around 10 a.m., He was born to Lily and John W. Kesna in Bedford, Pennsylvania, on September 4, 1935. Lowell is survived by his wife, Carolyn Kesna, Roy, sons, Greg, Max, Jonathan, and Sam, daughter-in-law, Wendy, numerous grandchildren, and several great-grandchildren. Lowell was preceded in death by his wife, Luella, son, Danny, and parents, Lily and John W. Kesna. A public visitation for Lowell will be held Friday, January 7th, 2022, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. A funeral service will occur Saturday, January 8th, 2022, at 1 p.m. at First Apostolic Church. A graveside will occur Saturday, January 8th, at 3 p.m. at Resthaven Memorial Park, Midland, Texas. The family appreciates flowers and or donations to First Apostolic Church. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Kesna family. Lynn Cook. Lynn Carlin Cook, age 79, died in Fort Worth, Texas on November 20th, 2021. He was born in Detroit, Michigan to Lynn C. and Martha Stone Cook. He is survived by his wife, Marion, and his sister Sharon and spouse Randy Strasel, by his children Christopher Cook and Veronica, by Leslie Owen and husband Jack, by Nathan Cook and wife Carrie, and by Beth Elizabeth Jordan, by his grandchildren. He was selfless and mandated that his body be donated to science. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, January 8th, 2022, at 3 o'clock at Midland Country Club. The family invites all his friends and coworkers to come and celebrate his life. Memorials may be given to the American Heart Association or the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Michael Curtis France. Michael Curtis France went to heaven on November 27th. He was welcomed in heaven by both sets of his grandparents. He leaves behind his parents, Fred and Linda France, his siblings, brother and sister-in-law Duane and Tanya France, sister and brother-in-law Cynthia and Chris Gomez Brooks, brother John France, his nieces and nephews. To honor Mike, please check out his memorial page and donate to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Billy Prothro Mabee Hightower. Billy Prothro Mabee Hightower, 90, of Midland, passed away January 4, 2022. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, January 7, 2022, at the branch at NPW. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, January 8, 2022, at First Baptist Chapel. The family will have a private graveside service. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Joyce Covington. Joyce May Weeks Covington, 87, of Midland, died Monday, January 3, 2022, in Midland. Graveside services will be held at 2:30 p.m., January 7, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Broswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Sherman O'Neill. Sherman O'Neill passed away December 25, 2021, in Tyler, Texas. Funeral service will be Thursday, January 6, 2022, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, 1502 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas, 79701. Interment will be Friday, January 7, 2021, starting at 11 a.m. at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Sherman is survived by his mother, Glinda Ruth Ware of Lancaster, Texas, sisters Vicki Bess of Tyler, Texas, Ivani Griffin of Lancaster, Texas, Deirdre O'Neill of DeSoto, Texas, brother Ricky O'Neill of Lancaster, Texas, six nephews and three nieces. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Susan K. Yarborough. Susan K. Yarborough, 67, of Midland, passed away January 3, 2022. Celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 22, 2022, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning. This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, January 6, 2022. Students get advice on being pulled over. To what extent when you're pulled over by a police officer and how to respond was the subject of assemblies for Odessa Collegiate Academy and OC Tech's students Wednesday at Diederich Auditorium. About 68 OCA students and 65 OC Tech's students attended Wednesday's session in the auditorium, which is on the Odessa College campus. Students watched a video called Flashing Lights, Creating Safe Interactions Between Citizens and Law Enforcement. High school students in grades 9 through 12 are required to watch the video under state law and the Texas Education Agency. Odessa College Police Department Chief Leslie Alexander presented information and answered questions from students afterwards. The law was passed as a result of some bad outcomes from traffic stops. The video covered the right and wrong ways to handle being pulled over by a law enforcement officer and officers' expectations. The video advised keeping your hands visible, not moving around, and not reaching for anything. You should place your hands in the 10 and 2 position. Also, it says to take a deep breath, breathe, relax, wait for the officer to approach, and they'll give you further instructions. If it's dark, turn the overhead light on. The video also advises people to roll down their windows. For example, if the windows are tinted or if there's not a lot of light, it also helps officers identify anyone who might be in the back seat. The video said you can be arrested if you refuse to show your driver's license to an officer. And under certain circumstances, if probable cause exists, the officer may require the passengers to identify themselves. If you don't have your license on you, an officer can usually verify that you have a license once he or she obtains basic information from you. Depending on the local law, you may be arrested, but most likely you will only get a citation, the video stated. The officer may also ask the driver to get out of the car because of the chance that the officer and or their vehicle may be struck by another driver while conducting a traffic stop. Many times, passengers want to get involved with the stop, but the video advises that the officers will usually only speak to the driver. It is up to the driver to pass the information on to the passenger. When an officer makes a traffic stop, it's usually about getting people to drive more safely. Most of the time, law enforcement looks for traffic violations in areas where there have been accidents, citizen complaints about traffic, or areas known to be dangerous, like narrow streets, hills, and blind curves. The video stated you should consider a ticket as a personal reconnaissance bond. You sign it to say you will contact the court so you can be released to go on your way. If you don't sign the ticket, you can be arrested and taken to a magistrate. The law says you have to be given at least 10 days to contact the court to say what you plan on doing. At this point, you have options you can discuss with the court. You may ask to go to trial and have a judge decide your case. Some courts allow you to plead no contest and take defensive driving courses to then have the ticket dismissed, or you can pay the fine. If you don't have the money right away, almost every court will work with you to set up a payment plan. There are other options that you may have that vary court to court. The big thing is to ask and be sure to do it before that time set on your citation. If you think an officer acted inappropriately or didn't have a reason to stop you, you can take it to court and the court will have the final say on whether or not you violated the law. Alexander noted that students can also have their cases heard in teen court. You can also contact the officer's employing agency and lodge a complaint or compliment them. Most officers in Texas and across the country now have in-car cameras with audio or on-body worn cameras with audio, so that would be the starting point of an investigation. After the department's investigation, they will contact you, mention what the results were, and let you know what action, if any, was taken. An officer can ask to search your car, but even if you say yes, you can change your mind. However, if the officer has probable cause to search, they do not need consent. Alexander has been police officer at OC for nearly 5 years, and she has decades of previous experience, mostly in educational settings. I've done just about every job there is in police work, all the way from patrol, investigations, canine training, management, emergency management. So I have a pretty broad base. My preference is the educational setting because it's a much, much more positive environment than traditional policing, which I did for 7 years, Alexander said. So I have been doing this a day or two. Most of the people in this town are basically good people. Our schools are a snapshot of the demographics of our community. A small percentage of people perceive police as the enemy, she said, but most people are appreciative of police officers and what we do. Having said that, there are bad apples in every group, including police officers, Alexander said. Officers are trained at the police academy, and then they have another 4 to 6 months of training after that, where they're taught how to apply what they learned in the police academy, she said. Alexander said, when you are stopped, you should always have your driver's license and proof of insurance ready. She added that you don't have to be friendly, but you should be respectful. Rosaline Acuna, 17, and Samantha Patino, 18, are both seniors at Odessa Collegiate Academy. It taught me a lot of stuff on how, when I get pulled over, what to expect and what to follow. I've never been pulled over before, so I never would have known to do the things that they told us to do, Patino said. Acuna said she feels the video was useful. It helped me a lot to calm my nerves down because I've also never been pulled over and I never knew what I had to do, what they expected me to do. I didn't know you had to put your hands on the steering wheel, not to move, so that really helped me a lot, Acuna said. OCA principal James Romage said he thinks the video can also help adults refresh themselves on what to do and not do if they are pulled over. Romage said that the 85th legislature passed a law that requires students to view the video. Odessa's MLK celebration returns. This year's theme for Odessa's Martin Luther King Jr. celebration will be Act on the Dream. The four-day celebration, which will last from January 14th through 17th, will feature a different event each day and is put on by the Black Cultural Council of Odessa. Act on the Dream is about, instead of dreaming about something, we're acting on the dream, Secretary Treasurer for the Black Cultural Council of Odessa, Tommy Haynes, said. Things that we're dreaming about doing, we're putting them into action. We are no longer talking about it. We are doing it. That's what our theme, Act on the Dream, comes from. Let's put it in motion instead of talking about it. This year's Martin Luther King celebrations will return to an in-person setting in Odessa after COVID forced last year's cancellation. Our board is eager, Black Cultural Council of Odessa President Joanne Littleton said. We're excited because last year with COVID and everything, it was a downer. We weren't able to have an event. As a community, we suffered. But safety comes first. This year, we're able to bring back the Martin Luther King celebrations. We're excited. The community is excited. We're just hoping that people get vaccinated and wear their masks, not only to protect themselves, but the people around them. So we're proceeding with caution and asking people to please wear their masks. We'll have masks available at all of our events. One notable difference this year will be a parade instead of a march. When you say a march, you march to protest, Littleton said. You march because I don't like what's going on, so the board took a different approach. We want to celebrate because it's a celebration. We want to celebrate Dr. King's legacy and act on his dream. So instead of marching, we're having a parade. This is the first time we've tried a parade, and so far we've had great responses from the city of Odessa. We've had people call and want to participate. The parade will take place January 17th at 1:30 p.m. and will start at Interstate 20 and South Dixie. The parade route will go north on Dixie Boulevard to Murphy Street and turn right to go east before turning right on Woodson Street and disband in front of the Woodson Center. The weekend celebration will start with the MLK Showcase Basketball Tournament starting at 7 p.m. January 14th at the Woodson Boys and Girls Club. The tournament will continue at 1 p.m. January 15th at the Woodson Boys and Girls Club. A gospel celebration will take place at 3:30 p.m. January 16th at the First United Methodist Church located at 415 North Lee Street, where the speaker will be Reverend Christopher Moore. Moore is the senior pastor at New Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Houston. Pastor Moore has been here before, Littleton said. He was here 2 years ago. He's a dynamic speaker. He's written a couple of books. He's pastor of a large church in Houston. He says he's looking forward to coming because it's a different atmosphere here in Odessa. The King Brunch will be from 10 a.m. to noon, January 17th, at the Woodson Community Center, where Elder Roy Colvin, Sr. will be the speaker. The parade will follow. It feels good to do this, Haynes said. It's our first time doing a parade, and it feels great to put this on for the city and for people who come out and see what our organization is all about and how we can give back to the city. This parade is a good celebration for us. If you go, what? Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration. When? January 14th through 17th. what? Third annual MLK Showcase Basketball Tournament. When? 7 p.m. January 14th. Where? Woodson Boys and Girls Club. Admission? $5 adult, $3 children, 5 and under are free. What? Third annual MLK Showcase Basketball Tournament. When? 1 p.m. January 15th. Where? Woodson Boys and Girls Club. Admission, $5 adult, $3 children, 5 and under free. What? Gospel Celebration. When? 3:30 p.m. January 16th. Where? First United Methodist Church, 415 North Lee Street. Admission free. What? King Brunch. When? 10 a.m. to noon, January 17th. Where? Woodson Community Center, 1000 East Murphy Street. What? Freedom Parade. When? 1:30 p.m. January 17th. Where? Parade starts at Interstate 20 and South Dixie and disbands in front of the Woodson Center. COVID-19 News. By the numbers, COVID in the basin. Ector County, 28,882 total cases, 577 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 13 students, 19 staff. Midland County, 30,513 total cases, 415 deaths. Texas, 4,804,721 total cases, 76,031 deaths. U.S. cases, 57,190,371 total confirmed and 828,879 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Quick Hits. Rodney Carrington, Let Me In. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM, 1788 Midland, will present Rodney Carrington, Let Me In, at 7 p.m. today. Doors open at 6 p.m. For tickets or information, visit wagnernoel.com. Free COVID-19 testing. Community Wellness America is hosting free COVID-19 testing for ages 3 and older throughout January. Testing schedule is as follows. Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Ector County Department of Health, 221 North Texas Avenue. Sundays, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane. Mondays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. All participants are asked to wear a mask. Citizenship is not required. Vaccination status is not a requirement. For more information, call 432-349-0522 or visit communitywellnessamerica.org. Joe Coy, Funny is Funny World Tour. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland, will present Joe Coy, Funny is Funny World Tour at 8 p.m. Saturday. Doors open at 7 p.m. For tickets or information, visit wagnernoel.com. Singing Cadets Concert. The Friends of Midland Aggie Moms Club has scheduled a singing cadets concert at 6 p.m. Sunday at the First United Methodist Church, 300 North Main Street, Midland. As a sponsorship, tickets, or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/5hervzk4. Student Crime Stoppers Fundraiser. The Odessa Student Crime Stoppers are holding a fundraiser to help send students to the annual Texas Student Crime Stoppers Conference. The Louis Vuitton Neverfull NM Tote is valued at $1,690. The tote unites timeless design with heritage details, elegant in damier abeyne canvas with a natural cowhide trim. It is roomy but not bulky, with side laces that cinch for a sleek allure or loosen for a casual look. Slim, comfortable handles slip easily over the shoulder or arm. Lined cherry in colorful textile. It features a removable pouch that can be used as a clutch or an extra pocket. Tickets are $100 each, but only 100 tickets will be sold. For tickets to view the tote or more information, visit www.333tips.org. West Texas Wedding Expo. West Texas Bridal has scheduled a West Texas Wedding Expo from noon to 4 p.m. January 30th, Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. There will be more than 100 booths in attendance, as well as 3 fashion shows. For more information, call 432-556-9294 or 432-934-6774 or visit tinyurl.com/2PCUYBPA. Open Scholarship Application. Permian Basin Area Foundation has announced the 2022-2023 scholarship cycle. Students and counselors may view eligibility and selection criteria for more than 85 scholarships through the application platform Academic Works through the PBAF website, pbaf.org. The application deadline is March 31st. The foundation is looking forward to connecting Permian Basin students with local scholarship opportunities here at the foundation. Sherry Hiding, scholarships administrator, said applicants are required to complete only one online application, which will then place them in a pool of scholarships for which they may qualify. However, it will be very important to read all instructions because approximately 12 scholarships are unique in their criteria, with an outside application, a second essay, or a different deadline. Permian Basin Area Foundation awarded more than $1 million in scholarships to area students during the last academic year. These awards are made possible by numerous donors to the foundation scholarship funds in support of local students pursuing higher education. To learn more about scholarships, grants, and the philanthropic work of donors partnering with PBAF, visit pbaf.org or call 432-617-3213. Obituaries. Constantina Josefina Acosta Rivas, Odessa. Constantina Josefina Acosta Rivas, 85, of Odessa, passed away on January 1st in Dallas, Texas. Visitation will be held from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday, January 6th, at Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory. Rosary will be held at 7 p.m. Thursday at Martinez Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at noon on Friday, January 7th, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church, with Father Michael Rodriguez officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory. Constantina is preceded in death by her parents, Aniceto and Josefina Rivas, brothers Enrique and Jesus Rivas, and sisters Concepcion and Alicia Ochoa Rivas. Constantina is survived by her husband, Socorro Acosta, sons Martin Rivas and wife Jacqueline Rivas of Odessa, and Lupe Acosta, also of Odessa. Sisters Juanita Ogaz and husband Avelino Ogaz, Carolina Chavez and husband Jose Chavez, Francisca Garcia and husband Celestino Garcia, 4 grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. The family of Constantina Josefina Acosta Rivas, wishes to extend their sincere thanks to all doctors, nurses, and family and friends. Adela Larrea Vasquez, Odessa. Adela Larrea Vasquez was born in Odessa on May 11, 1949, and received her heavenly wings on Monday, January 3, 2022. She lived most of her years in Odessa, Texas. On August 10, 1968, she married the love of her life, Gilbert Vasquez. She leaves behind her beloved mother, Aurora Larrea, beloved husband Gilbert, daughter Monica Vasquez, Descounter, Chris Descounter, son, Patricia Vasquez, Joanna Inez Worth Vasquez, sister Marianne Larrea McCoy, Judge Bill McCoy, brothers Faustino F.B. Larrea, and Danny Larrea Norton, Sabra. Adela is preceded in death by her father, Faustino P. Larrea, father-in-law, Santos Vasquez, mother-in-law, Lucila Vasquez, nephew, Nathan Dean Davis, and countless aunts, uncles, and cousins. She is survived by many grandchildren. Visitation will be held at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home on Friday, January 7th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. A rosary will follow beginning at 7 p.m. Mass celebration will be held at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church on Sunday, January 8th. In lieu of flowers, memorials honoring Adela may be given to West Texas Gifts of Hope and to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. The family wishes to extend a sincere thanks to the staffs at Medical Center Hospital, Texas Oncology, and Hospice of Odessa. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Lynn Carland Cook, Fort Worth. Lynn Carland Cook, age 79, died in Fort Worth on November 20th. He was born in Detroit, Michigan, to Lynn C. and Martha Stone Cook. He is survived by his wife, Marion, and his sister, Sharon, and spouse, Randy Strassel, by his children, Christopher Cook and Veronica, by Leslie Owen and husband, Jack, by Nathan Cook and wife, Carrie, and by Beth Elizabeth Jordan, by many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, January 8th at 3 o'clock at Midland Country Club. The family invites all his friends and co-workers to come and celebrate his life. Memorial will be given to the American Heart Association and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Death Notices. Joyce May Weeks Covington, Midland. Joyce May Weeks Covington, 87, of Midland, died Monday, January 3rd, in Midland. Graveside service is scheduled for 2:30 p.m., January 7th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Broswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. James Curtin Parham, Odessa. James Curtis Parham, 88, of Midland, died Monday, December 20th in Odessa, Texas. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m. January 7th at the Chapel of Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Dijon DeShouser Rangel, Odessa. Dijon DeShouser Rangel, 28, of Euless, died Monday, December 20th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 2 p.m. Friday, January 7th at Texas and Clements Church of Christ. Burial will follow at a later date. Brother Devin DeShields is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Mildred Etta Millie Wester Ward, Amarillo. Mildred Etta Millie Wester Ward, 77, of Kermit, died Saturday, January 1st, in Amarillo. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. January 8th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dudley Mullins is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Velma Jane Watkins, Odessa. Velma Jane Watkins, 85, died Monday, January 3rd in Odessa. Funeral services are pending with Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.